What does this mean? Up to 17, you're fine to be in the Boy Scouts, and at the stroke of midnight on your 18th birthday, you turn into a pedophile or a predator? What kind of warped message does this send?
We might as well rename this organization now the Boy Sodomizers of America.
If we all turn and stare at this man just here, consorts to the Lord Mayor, this is James, who plays the Bisons and is the partner of our Deputy Lord Mayor.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Nigeria plans to punish LGBT people and their advocates with 10 years in prison. A California senator vows to defeat Boy Scout bias. And Europe's gay ruggers take the pitch in Bristol. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 1st, 2013. As in most African countries, homosexual acts are already illegal in Nigeria. But its House of Representatives passed much harsher legislation on May 30th stating that any person who registers, operates or participates in gay clubs, societies and organizations, or directly or indirectly makes a public show of a same-sex amorous relationship, shall be liable to a term of 10 years imprisonment. It also punishes with a 10-year sentence any persons or group of persons that administer, witness, abet, screen, shield and aid the solemnization of a same-sex marriage contract or civil union, or supports the registration of gay clubs, societies and organizations, processions, or meetings in Nigeria. The Senate, where it was first proposed, passed the legislation in late 2011, but there had been no further action until this week's unexpected passage in the House. President Goodluck Jonathan must still sign the bill to make it the law of the land. While several Western governments and global human rights groups have urged him to veto it, Jonathan is also under extreme domestic pressure to sign it. A presidential spokesman refused comment late this week about whether or not Jonathan would approve the most draconian anti-gay laws in Africa, if not the world.
In happier news for LGBT people, the first same-gender couple to legally wed in France tied the knot on May 29th in the southern town of Montpellier, with the world media looking on. Vincent Autain and Bruno Boileau have lived together for more than 7 years, but they decided to make it legal after the Marriage for All bill passed in Parliament on May 18th and was quickly signed into law by its champion, President François Hollande. This is not about Vincent and Bruno. This is about equality under the law, Autain said at a press conference. This is for all the people who have fought for the right to say, I do. After the ceremony, officiated in Montpellier's town hall by Mayor Hélène Mandrou, the couple walked out to thunderous applause and Frank Sinatra's recording of Love and Marriage.
Violent opposition to civil marriage equality in heavily Roman Catholic France continued even after it became law. Several journalists and police officers were attacked in Paris on May 26th as an anti-equality protest that drew an estimated 150,000 people turned violent. There were more than 35 injuries and 350 arrests. Authorities blamed the trouble on a hardcore group of far-right militants. Some 10,000 protesters marched in Warsaw, Poland on the same day in solidarity with opponents of the French law and in defense of what they called the traditional family structure. In Brazil, an estimated 100,000 evangelical Christians gathered in Rio de Janeiro on May 25th for an annual March for Jesus. This year, denouncing a recent high court ruling virtually opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in South America's largest country.
But there won't be a vote on marriage equality in Australia on June 6th, as had been expected. Greens MP Adam Bandt announced that debate would begin on his proposal that day, but the ruling Labour Party and the opposition Liberals have united to block any vote on the issue before the September 14th general elections. Even though polls have consistently shown strong public support for it, a bill in Parliament last September to open the country's Marriage Act to same-gender couples was soundly defeated.
There also wasn't a vote as expected in the Illinois House on the last day of its spring legislative session, May 31st, to make it the 13th state in the U.S. to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples. A marriage equality bill passed in the state Senate on Valentine's Day, and Governor Pat Quinn said he was anxious to sign it. The Democrats control both legislative chambers, so equality advocates thought they were on the verge of making history. But fierce opposition from the Roman Catholic Church and conservative African American church groups apparently prevented enough votes from materializing to assure passage. Marriage equality activists are furious with sponsoring Representative Greg Harris of Chicago for deciding not to call for a vote on the bill. Supporters wanted an up or down vote, even if the measure failed, to at least have lawmakers on the record with their positions. But Harris explained that several colleagues had asked to have the summer to further consult their constituents on the issue before returning in November to fully support the bill. Harris said he would hold them to their word.
Until that day,
he said,
I apologize to the families who are hoping to wake up tomorrow as full and equal citizens of this state.
Meanwhile, about 400 people took part on May 27th in the first ever marriage equality march in staunchly Roman Catholic and largely conservative Croatia, which is set to join the European Union on July 1st. Supporters, under heavy security, marched through downtown Zagreb chanting, "Love is love, marriage for all," and carrying banners that read, "Different families, same rights." Croatia extended limited rights in 2003 to same-gender couples, equivalent to those given to unmarried heterosexual couples. But marriage is not defined in Croatia's constitution. And in recent weeks, a Roman Catholic Church-backed group called In the Name of the Family has launched a preemptive petition calling for a national referendum to define marriage in the document as a union of a man and a woman. But Sanja Joras from the lesbian group Kontra told reporters that it is completely unacceptable to hold a referendum on human rights.
A first-ever pride parade was held in the Ukraine on May 25th. International supporters included an official contingent from Kiev's sister city of Munich, Germany, including its mayor, Josef Hep Monatzeder, and activists from Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and the Netherlands. They marched with about 50 brave local souls in an area outside the city center in the former Soviet country's capital in defiance of a court order against it. According to the Kiev Post, dozens of buses brought more than 300 police officers in riot gear to the event to keep anti-gay protesters from attacking the march's participants. There were about a dozen arrests, but no serious injuries. Elena Semyonova, one of the Pride March organizers, called it a historic day and said that we felt like we were full-fledged citizens whose rights are respected.
Equality activists also attempted to hold unsanctioned rallies on May 25th outside the parliament building in Moscow and near the mayor's office. The Interior Department reported 39 arrests, including some of the anti-gay counter-demonstrators who had turned out to protest the rallies. LGBT activists in the neighboring country of Georgia held a small rally on May 25th to demand the prosecution of those behind the violent disruption of a small equal rights rally by thousands of ultra-conservative religious fundamentalists in the capital city of Tbilisi a week earlier.
But finally, there were two more firsts this week in the U.S. world of sports. On the heels of pro basketball player Jason Collins becoming the first active NBA player to come out, Jalen Messersmith, who plays for Benedictine College, a liberal arts Roman Catholic school in Kansas, has become the first men's college basketball player to come out while still playing. He told the Associated Press this week that he came out to his coach in the summer of 2012 and to his teammates before the season started. He said he was petrified, but that he received unconditional support. And they wanted to make sure it wouldn't change my experience at the school. That was awesome, he said. After that, I felt like I could do anything. The top pick for the WNBA college draft, Brittany Griner of Baylor University, a private Christian institution in Texas, came out last month. She had two monster dunks in her recent professional debut with the Phoenix Mercury and already has an endorsement deal with Nike.
And more U.S. sports history was made this week with this stadium announcement. 14, in the 77th minute of the Major League Soccer game between the Los Angeles Galaxy and the Seattle Sounders on May 26th, Robbie Rogers, became the first openly gay man to play in a professional American team sport. The Los Angeles native came out publicly in February and then abruptly retired from the sport. He'd been with Leeds United in the UK after winning the 2005 NCAA championship with the University of Maryland and leading the Columbus Crew to the MLS Cup in 2008 when he was named one of the league's top players. Rogers told USA Today that he decided to return to the game after he spoke to about 500 kids at the Nike Be True LGBT Youth Forum in Portland, Oregon in April. "These kids are standing up for themselves and changing the world," he said. "And I'm 25. I have a platform and a voice to be a role model. How much of a coward was I to not step up to the plate?" And he began training with the Galaxy later that month. Oh, and the Galaxy won in Rogers' debut on the 26th by a score of 4-0.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 1st, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Jason Proctor.
Bristol's Boys in Pink play rough later in the program. Fallout continues following the Boy Scouts of America's decision to end its ban on gay members, but not on LGBT leaders. Roman Catholic and Mormon leaders, whose churches are major sponsors of local troops across the U.S., have said that the new policy doesn't violate their core beliefs. But the American Family Association's Brian Fisher relished the opportunity for unrestrained, irrational ranting.
"We might as well rename this organization now. BSA no longer stands for the Boy Scouts of America. It now stands for the Boy Sodomizers of America, because that is exactly what is going to happen. The infamous crime against nature now is going to be, it's been normalized, it's been endorsed, it's been embraced now by scouting leadership. This is a sobering word for the Boy Scouts of America from Luke chapter 17. These are the words of Jesus himself to the Boy Scouts, and pretty sobering because this comes from Christ himself. Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe, woe, woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble." I would not want to be in the shoes of a Boy Scout executive standing before the throne of God, being judged by the man who spoke those words, by the God who spoke those words. That is not going to be a pretty picture.
Despite radio right-winger Brian Fisher's dire interpretation, biblical scholars would insist that Jesus wasn't referring to gays or scouts in that passage. But California State Senator Ricardo Lara reached for some words that were more to the point as he argued for a bill that would take away the Boy Scouts' tax-exempt status.
"I'd like to share with you a couple oaths. I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to a better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do, and to respect myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, make a better world and a better place, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God, to my country, and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Three pledges, members, three vital youth organizations, one big difference. 4-H and the Girl Scouts don't discriminate. They don't exclude LGBT members or leaders just for the simple fact of being who they are, being the person God made them. neither do the Boys and Girls Club or the YMCA. Now, besides being the right thing to do, under current law, these groups' inclusiveness and commitment to equality make them eligible for tax exemptions, exemptions supported financially by all Californians. At the other end of the spectrum, we have the Boy Scouts of America, an undeniably important part of young lives and of our American fabric, but an organization with the central flaw so profound that until it is fully fixed, it means that they are out of line with the values of California and should be ineligible for a tax benefit paid for, again, by all Californians. Although nonprofits are private organizations, California law prohibits discrimination by the state based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or religious affiliation. So any support of discriminatory organizations can be curtailed. SB 323 brings our laws into line with our values. Specifically, it gets rid of a tax exemption for sales and use taxes, as well as corporate taxes for youth groups that discriminate. For example, items they sell, raffles, donations they receive would be taxable under SB 323 if it were to become law. Examples of corporate taxes include rental properties for camping activities. Members, we've given the Boy Scouts ample time to solve their discrimination problem, and they've chosen a path that still leads to discrimination. The BSA's recent vote to allow gay youth as members falls short of truly implementing a truly inclusive policy. While it is a step in the right direction, continuing the ban on LGBT adults is premised on absurd assumptions and stereotypes that perpetuate hate and homophobia. What does this mean? Up to 17, you're fine to be in the Boy Scouts, and at the stroke of midnight on your 18th birthday, you turn into a pedophile or a predator? What kind of warped message does this send? At 18, you're no longer allowed to be part of an organization that you've given years of your life to? I'm sorry, members. Equality does not have an expiration date. Discrimination is wrong. Discrimination should not be subsidized. Discrimination has a cost. We know it has a cost for Ryan Adrason, who many of you met last December. He was denied his Eagle Scout rank because he would not deny who he was. And we know it has a cost on our vulnerable LGBT youth, who are far more likely to report suicidal ideation and self-harm than their heterosexual peers. So discrimination should have a cost for those who practice it. Actions have consequences. Inactions have consequences. The Boy Scouts of America have had ample time. So to have them come at this late in the date and fall short, we have to say no more. Not on our watch, not on California's dime. And more important, the protections in this bill live beyond the transitory actions that any group may take now or in the future. Any group may claim inclusiveness today, then change their mind tomorrow. If Rick Perry and other powerful Republicans have their way, the Boy Scouts could reverse course and rescind their action in the future. Or other groups may pop up wanting to discriminate and wanting the same tax breaks the BSA is enjoying today. SB 323 offers ongoing protection for equality. One of our community's finest writers, Tennessee Williams, once wrote about always depending on the kindness of strangers. That's not enough. Not anymore, members. Colleagues, it's a basic tax fairness issue. If the BSA or any other youth group isn't interested in ending discrimination, they do not deserve the tax exemption designed for those who played by the rules. Ignore the manufactured arguments against SB 323. Churches do not lose their tax exemption. You can deduct your contributions to the Boy Scouts. This is not some grand plan to destroy the Boy Scouts. I want the Boy Scouts to succeed. In fact, I just want the Boy Scouts to be all that they can be, to borrow a phrase from another organization that no longer discriminates. Colleagues, I would close by quoting one final pledge, the oath we all took when we came to serve in this chamber. I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter. Faithfully discharge our duties means ensuring our laws are followed. Faithfully discharging our duties means we approve tax exemptions only for those who actually meet the requirements. Faithfully discharging our duties means we are respecting the dignity and the equality of every Californian. I respectfully ask for your vote.
That was California State Senator Ricardo Lara. His bill to eliminate the tax-exempt status of public charity youth organizations that discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation passed by a resounding 27-9. The proposal now moves to the State Assembly.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, Noah in the Noah's Ark movie and TV series, and you've discovered This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
Amateur gay rugby teams from all over Europe come together every 2 years for the Union Cup. The UK's Bristol Bisons hosted the fifth tournament in mid-May. Shout-out program host Mary Milton, along with her BCFM colleagues Cheryl Morgan, Natalie Newberry, and Paul Davis, were on the pitch.
Swim long, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me.
After over 2 years of planning, Bristol Bisons hosted the Union Cup. Here are some of our highlights, starting with a raucous launch on Bristol's harbourside.
Good evening, Europe, and welcome to the fifth Union Cup. 2 years ago, you took a chance on us, a quite small team, because we're one of the smallest teams in Europe, and I'm really proud to welcome you to Bristol.
I looked into my soul.
As the rugby union in Gloucestershire, we are steadfast in providing rugby for any group who may wish to play this great game. And indeed, we take pride in being totally inclusive.
He has just stepped down as Bristol's first gay Lord Mayor. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Peter Main! Peter holds a very, very dear place in our hearts. If we all turn and stare at this man just here, consorts to the Lord Mayor, this is James, who plays the Bisons and is the partner of our Deputy Lord Mayor.
I've just, by a few days, I missed hosting this competition as the Lord Mayor of Bristol. I'm very disappointed with that, but I shall be there supporting... Where's he? He disappeared now.
He's behind you.
And I'm here with Ian Bolton, who's the chair of South Gloucestershire Council. They've had you doing a ceremonial kick to start the tournament. How did it go?
Well, I didn't fall over my own feet, and I didn't lose a shoe over the post, so it was fine.
Kevin Bartlett, one of the referees from the tournament this year. Okay, you're happy that both sets of teams that you referee in games will be fully conservant with the rules and there'll be no problems?
Oh, absolutely. And can I just correct you there that it's actually not rules, they are laws.
Laws, sorry,
laws,
yeah.
In rugby.
We're live from the Union Cup here at the SGS Wise Campus at Stoke Gifford, North Bristol this afternoon. Live pitch side now for the 15s final, and right on time, the kickoff is taken by King's Cross Steelers. They are playing the Emerald Warriors of Dublin Armand in this final. So Cheryl, your thoughts on this match as a whole then?
It's been a much more competitive match than the 10s final. I think the Dublin side have held out really well, but they've been unable to break down the London defence. As we said at the start of the match, their one big chance in this is if they could get a few penalty kicks.
Out to the wing now, and a nice chase now down the wing, and there's a nice run, but he's stopped in his tracks on halfway. Good defence by Steelers. They are determined to keep a zero in their column this afternoon and win this cup without conceding a point. Been a great final, but there's only going to be one winner, and it's looking like the trophy this year, the 2013 Union Cup 15s tournament, will be going to England. It'll be staying in this country, and it'll be going to the London Steelers, but we won't give up on Emerald Warriors of Ireland. They'll keep going to the end. 33 minutes gone in this second half.
So we're into injury time as we speak, Cheryl. Oh, sorry, Paul, I was a little distracted there. Some of the Cardiff Lions players are down below us and they've been taking their shirts off in the sunshine.
Well,
splendid view. Okay, it's back with London Steelers now. They've got to play the ball out, but it's they've just kicked it into touch. And that's it. Ball is kicked out to touch. They know it's over. The victors of the Union Cup for 2013 are the London Steelers. The final score here at the SGS Warriors campus is London Steelers 12, Emerald Warriors 0. Two tries for London Steelers were the difference. A missed penalty for Emerald Warriors early in the first half. That was the best that they could do. The Irish will be a little bit disappointed in how they fared in this final. Both their teams losing the 10s and the 15s final.
I'm with George Ferguson, elected Mayor of Bristol. George, you've come up to see the rugby, I believe.
Actually, came up to cheer on the Bisons. I'm rather disappointed.
Oh, unfortunately, you sort of came up just after their last game finished, which they lost, I'm afraid. I will say the games they've been playing have been extremely hard fought.
Have they? Well, there's some tough-looking guys here. I wouldn't want to be up against them. I suppose you could liken leading the city to leading a football team or a rugby team.
Yeah, you get disappointments and some actual wins, don't you?
And the occasional roughing up. And I'm sorry that Bisons have got the wooden spoon, but at least they go away with something.
If they'd actually won the match, they wouldn't have got anything.
No.
Well, thank you for talking to us and enjoy this wonderful sunny day for a change.
I think the Union Cup has gone from strength to strength, and we're just amazed that we had an opportunity to put a bit of the Bisons stamp on a closing
ceremony.
Even
though the Bisons didn't do very well, and going to win the wooden spoon.
You'll find out how good they are at partying later. That's where they win.
Even if the home team got the wooden spoon, Mary Milton and Bristol's BCFM crew deserve a mother of pearl microphone for those highlights from the Union Cup rugby tournament. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Jason Proctor, Tanya Kane Perry, and Mary Milton, with BCFM reporters Cheryl Morgan, Natalie Newberry, and Paul Davis, contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by grants from the Yavanna Foundation and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, by our generous listener supporters, and by a generous bequest from the estate of longtime audiophile producer and This Way Out friend, Christopher David Trentum. Visit us at thiswayout.org, where you can find links to our podcasts, our blog, and our Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KEOS College Station, Texas, 5KIX, Kangaroo Island, South Australia, WLUW, Chicago, Illinois, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!